often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
AJC's Dog Nation. I check it out every day. Always outstanding content on there. Griff, where do you stand on the Nick Saban versus Jimbo snit?
Well, I mean, there's two issues here. There's one is, you know, what did they actually say? And two is just how did they, you know, represent themselves? So in terms of what they said, I mean, Saban basically is, you know, calling out the application of NIL and using Texas A&M as an example. And Jimbo is steadfastly defending his program. That's the nuts and bolts of now how they did it. I mean, I thought Saban did it in a pretty casual, professional manner. And, you know, Jimbo came unscrewed and became enraged and turned it into a circus. So I think Saban, you know, probably, if you know, in the court of public opinion, I think we did a poll. I think 72% of the people said they found Nick Saban to be more believable. And I would say that coming out of this, Nick Saban probably accomplished what he wanted, and that's to get a lot of attention on this issue and, you know, get the public to a point where they want to be informed, because this is something that's going to be solved by politicians and lawmakers. And so the court of public opinion could come into play here. So it's a win for Saban, because status quo was nothing was going to change, and A&M and Texas and Oklahoma were going to be at an advantage because they have deeper pockets and they could exploit NIL better, unless this trend, you know, changes. And the only way it was going to change is if Saban did something to kind of jolt it. And so he did. He called out A&M, and Jimbo cooperated by making it even a bigger spectacle. So I think that's, I'd score this as a win for Nick Saban.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Saw you had a piece where you looked at how big Georgia would be favored over a few teams. Tennessee, 17 points, etc. And Kirby, I believe, was he on Feinbaum? You had some quotes, regardless, about Kirby talking about that. What are some of the things he said?
Well, he wasn't talking directly about the point spreads, but he was talking about how they would have to go about things differently this year. I mean, he knows that, you know, when you get five guys drafted off your defense in the first round and eight guys drafted off your defense, that you're going to have to do things different. You know, David Pollack recently said that he thought Georgia would give up 10 points more per game on defense. Well, last year, Georgia in the regular season, set the new regular season mark, give up 6.9 points per game through the regular season, and by Pollock's math, that would be about 17. Now, that would still be a top 20 program defensively. But David's probably right. And so the offense is going to have to do more. And, you know, Kirby's saying that, you know, he's aware of that. And that may mean they're going to play offense in the second half or in the fourth quarter. You know, like the Orange Bowl, for example. You know, they ran the ball 16 times and threw it once. Well, they're beating Michigan 34-3. So, you know, you're not going to have maybe those sort of games anymore where your offense is going to have to be more productive. It'll be more of a four-quarter game in some of those instances.
Arch Manning's three visits are out. Georgia coming up a week from this weekend, then Alabama, then Texas the next 2 weeks. I know I ask you this every week. Is there a feel for – by the way, Rusty Manziel was on with us, who I like a lot, 24/7. He says he thinks it's either Georgia or Texas. Just for
Rusty does a great job with recruiting. He's a buddy of Kirby, so, you know, he probably gets some information there, here and there. I think his instincts are good. I think he's, I think he operates that 24/7 site. I don't know how much reporting he does, but he gets the information, and somebody for his site writes it when he doesn't. So he's a really good guest that you have on, Bill. I would say, you know, Rusty's probably on it. Now, what I did hear last week when I was in Knoxville, talking with some folks that know the Mannings pretty well, is that LSU is working to try to get into this. I don't know if they will or they can, but, you know, if those are the three visits, you know, I haven't heard LSU in there yet. Of course,
Baton Rouge is only 90 miles from New Orleans. I think it's fluid. You know, I think the Manning brand has a lot riding on this decision, and I think there's going to be a lot of considerations. Obviously, you know, what Arch himself wants, but also the family is going to be careful to put him in a position where, you know, he'll have the best opportunity to succeed. And there's arguments to be made for each of those three programs. The thing I'd say about Texas is I think there's more questions there with Sarkisian. I mean, did he really prove anything last year? You know, good coaches can come in and win with other people's talent. I think about Steve Spurrier. The Gators had the best record his first year in the SEC in 1990. Think about Terry Bowden coming in, taking over an Auburn program that was 5-6 and 5-5-1 the two previous years, and he goes 11-0. And Sark didn't really do that. So I think there's some questions, you know, about that Texas staff still.
Mike Griffith with us, the AJC's Dog Nation. Interesting piece, Griff, and I don't know if you've been able to check it this morning from Sports Illustrated about the SEC's future scheduling format. And according to the SI piece by Ross, it said that a firm pitched about 35 different type of formats, and they're down to two. And it's not a pod system, apparently. Apparently, that's not on the table. It's a 8-game versus a 9-game format, and it would be 1 permanent, 7 rotating versus 3 permanent, 9 rotating. Your thoughts?
Well, it depends on when, you know, the implementation of this would be. Number one, you know, there's a difference in your scheduling model. If you're going to be working towards a 4-team playoff versus a 12-team playoff, you wouldn't be as apt to have a 9-game league schedule if you're only playing a 4-game playoff, because you don't want to knock yourselves off and diminish, you know, your conference's chances of getting two teams in the playoffs. So that's the first thing is, you know, I don't know what the start date for this will be. I did see it in my first. My eyes went right to who gets the automatic wins with Vanderbilt, because that's a big advantage if you get to play Vanderbilt every year. That's an automatic win, presuming they show up. And now that they are forfeiting if they don't show up, you want to be the pro. Who are the three lucky teams that would get Vanderbilt and get that automatic win every year in this pod system or in this 3-6 system?
Well, we don't know. Now, Ross did take a shot at the 3 permanent teams and the 6 rotating and all that, just for fun. And I don't remember.
I think I saw Tennessee, Ole Miss, and somebody else would get to beat Vanderbilt every year. Who would be the other team that gets that W?
Okay, Vanderbilt's 3 permanent. Tennessee, Ole Miss, Auburn is what he laid out.
Those are automatic wins. See, so the only problem I have with that is that those 3 teams get an automatic win every year. And that's not really fair to the rest of the league. So that's probably my biggest problem with it, is that, you know, the same 3 teams get an automatic win every year, and that part's not fair. I think you got to pass Vanderbilt around. I mean, everybody's got to get a little bit of Vanderbilt. Everybody's got to swig off that bottle, because that's the program that just keeps giving. You know, you get your fan base gets to come to Nashville and party and have a good time and take over the stadium and kick Vanderbilt's ass. I mean, that's what Vanderbilt's there for. It's like, come on in. They're like the Washington Generals of the SEC. They're there to be beat, and they're fine. And listen, they're fine with that. They really are. They're fine. You saw the athletic director said she was proud of their, when they didn't show up, you know, made a decision, all this. And, you know, they're good with that, you know. So that's the role they play. But I don't think that's fair that Tennessee Auburn and Ole Miss get to play Vanderbilt every year. That puts them a half a game up on everybody just by having that win every year. And the other team's got a 50-50 game.
Griff, I know you're a baseball, softball guy. You coached. Does Tennessee need to go down to Hoover and do anything? Or just rest?
You know what? Really, not many teams do. You know, like, I'm looking at Georgia. And, you know, Georgia's got the number 11 RPI in the country and the number 2 strength of schedule. So they're in. They probably won't host a regional, but, you know, going down there and playing 3 games with Georgia right now with the injuries they've had, it doesn't make any sense. It's I don't know. I mean, the SEC baseball tournament, I don't know. I guess, you know, in the age of innocence, I used to love covering it. You know, we'd say it was a better field than the World Series field and all that. And you could still make that argument. But I don't know how much it matters. And you know, last year Georgia beat LSU head-to-head, okay? They beat them head-to-head down there. They had the same record, and they beat them. And LSU, and then LSU gets in because their coach retires. So somebody on the committee, you know, puts LSU in ahead of Georgia, even though Georgia beat them head. So what was the point of it? If to me, if the league tournaments aren't going to matter, then what's the point of it? I hate to say that because it's such a great event, and I loved going to the Hoover Met, man. When I worked at the Mobile Register, I remember driving up there and staying, you know, right around the Galleria. And going to the Hoover Met, and I couldn't wait to get there every day, and just what a great environment it was, and all the different fan bases. You know, but now, you know, now it's like, well, what does it mean? It means a lot for Alabama. They play Georgia. Alabama's got to win. Alabama's not getting in the NCAA tournament unless they do something miraculous at the SEC tournament. But for Georgia, I mean, I think Georgia's going to throw their number three or number four pitcher. And I'm not saying they're going to try to lose, but they're not throwing their best guy. Because it's a different scenario for them. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't want to poo-poo it because it's a great event. But it means more to some teams than others, for sure.
Yeah, Mississippi State went 2-0 last year and won the whole thing.
Yeah. So, to your point, you know, it is what it is.
Griff, we've done enough damage. See you next week, man.
Appreciate it, Bill.
Several people. Bill, mark the tape.